ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
In between the paper's lines, I'm the quiet storm nigga who fight rhyme. P, yeah, you heard of him, but I ain't concerned with them. Nigga, I pop more guns than you holding them. Make my route while the sun's out and scold your men. Unload 10 in broad daylight, get right. Fuck your life, hop on my 98 dirt bike. You try to stop minds from growing, I make your blood stop flowing. Take affirmative action to any ass if he asking. Now here come the MAC-10, use a dick blower. Trying to speak the done language, what the drilly with that though? It ain't banging, you hooked on Marv Phonics. Infamous Bonics, lying to the pop dog like you got it. You ain't a wildin' out for the night, fist thrower. Rusty Shank Cola, we lit this shit.
It's the real shit, shit to make them feel shit. Lump them in the club shit, have you out and out when you bump this. Drugs to your eardrum, the raw uncut. Have a nigga OD cause it's never enough. It's the real shit, shit to make them feel shit. Lump them in the club shit, have you out and out when you bump this. Drugs to your eardrum, the raw uncut. Have a nigga OD cause it's never
Yo,
enough.
Yo, the P-Rock 40 inch cables, drinking white label. My chain hang down on my dick, my piece bang glass tables. Diamonds and guns before the fame duke. A nigga like me hold tax. Are you the same too? Going through the emotions, a gun holding, long shotguns down my pants, leg limping. Killer B, you still living. Even my pops too, he taught me how to shoot when I was 7. I used to bust shots crazy, I couldn't even look because the loud sound used to scare me. I love my pops for that, I love my nigga, he black. I take the life of anybody trying to change what's left. And through all of that, a nigga ain't scared to death. All y'all brand new niggas just scared to death. I spent too many nights sniffing coke, getting right, wasting my life. Now I'm trying to make things right. Grand, open some gates, invest in the rag business. Do things for the kids, build a jungle gym behind the crib so they can enjoy youth. CBRs and VCRs, ATVs and big screen TVs. Nigga, please, don't make me have to risk my freedom. We worked our whole life for this, you get your shit beaten.
For real. Cause it's the real shit, shit to make them feel shit. Lump them in the club shit, have you out there.
Yo, what's going on everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 165 of the report. And right now, man, yo, man, we gotta get that tribute to Prodigy, man. Prodigy just passed away at the age of 42, I believe, man. 42, dealing with the complications from sickle cell anemia, man. So this is a tribute to Prodigy, man. Rest in peace to Prodigy.
You better walk like the nigga on a tightrope, dude. Infamous first infantry, first division, fourth mission, first assignment, give them that shit they've been missing. My new additions, way bitching. Those that listen, get addicted to my diction. Fuck rhymes, I write prescriptions for your disease. Generic raps, just not potent like peas. 1,100 cc's on the throttle. I peel off, chest naked on katanas. Spaghetti head, mob niggas is full bread. Fully blown, melanin tone. I rock skeleton bone shirts and verses, but thirst for worse beats. So I can put more product out on the street. Get respect and love all across the board. We've been adored for keeping it raw. Nothing less or more. I score every time for sure. While the rest of y'all niggas just near
to the rap.
Yes indeed, man. Yes indeed. That shit still goes, man. Real talk. Like I said, man, it's episode number 165 of the report. I am your host, Mr. Span, man. It's been about a week since the last time we talked, at least. And a lot of shit has been going on, man. So of course we're gonna speak about all of that, right? But before I get into everything, of course, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback at thespanreport.com. Go ahead and send me those emails. I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to you live here on the show as well. And I am still trying to get a co-host for the Span Report, man. So for those of you who would be interested in doing so, or joining me here on the mic, man, go ahead and submit those submissions to feedback@thespanreport.com. 1 minute video saying basically why you feel like you'd be a good fit here at the Span Report podcast, man. Real talk. Also, you follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. Of course, everything that's pretty much on Twitter finds its way on the Mr. Span fan page. So you can go ahead and do that. 5-star reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher are very much appreciated. So for those of you who would like to put on and you don't want to put no money up, that's one way to do it, man. So go ahead, leave me a 5-star review. Let the people know that you fucking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast, man. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there, man. The podcast, the polls, you can donate to the show. You can buy t-shirts. You can do pretty much everything at thespanreport.com, man. So it's very much appreciated for those of you guys who go ahead and do that. And yeah, man, that's your one-stop shop for everything Span Report related, man. So go there and get that done, man. Real talk. Now, yeah, man, like I said, it's been about a week. The last time I talked to you guys, it was a Sunday. It's been almost 2 weeks. Let me take that back. It's been almost 2 weeks because I was in D.C., man. I was in D.C. Went to Washington, D.C. for NegroCon 2017, man. And it was an experience. I mean, it really was. It was a really, really, really dope experience. And I'm looking forward to doing that again, man. It was fun. It was fun. For all of you guys who might have been interested in going to NegroCon and couldn't get tickets because they sold out really quick. Yo, man, y'all missed out on the real, y'all missed out on a real good thing, man. Real talk. It was all of that. It was dope. It was, I kept liking it to, a black family reunion or just like a podcast family reunion, man, because it was an opportunity, to be in a room with a lot of people that I have been listening to and have been fans of for quite some time, man. And to be in that room and to see the love that was like pretty much being spread around the room, man, it was beautiful. You know, it was kind of funny too, man. Like, you know, although I wasn't one of like one of the featured speakers, because it was the Where's My 40 Acres with Deidre, Twan, and Brandon. Mike couldn't be there. Then you had the Black Guy Who Tips with Rod, Karen, and Justin. And then you had Movie Trailer Reviews, man. Their whole crew with Jax and D-Palm and Ashanti and Chris. Like I know I'm missing some people's names, man, but like it was so great to catch those shows live, man, and to see people interacting with those shows live, man. It was a really good thing, man. Had a really good time. Like I said, I got a chance to not only meet some of those people, but then you had other podcasters in the room, man. You had Aaron from the Black Astronauts podcast. You had Amber P from the Black Sexy, Geeky, and Mental and Black Chicks Watching podcast. You had Miss Smart from the Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine podcast. You had Cooking Gooch. They were there. Like, so many different podcasters were there, just like in the room, like showing support, showing love, man. It was cool to be in the room and like folks even recognizing your boy, right? Like, oh shit, Span, how you doing, man? Like, you know, and that was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, being there, like, I don't know how many miles away DC is from Detroit, but the fact that like I'm in another city that I've never been in and I'm walking into a room and some people know who I am, and that was cool. You know what I'm saying? And it was also cool to see the love that was being spread to those who put that thing on. You know what I'm saying? Like, people were very appreciative of Chris, of Rod and Karen, of Brandon, of like all three of those shows, man. People were very appreciative for them putting that together, and it was an awesome experience. I can't wait for them to do it again. And you know, it was very cool, man. Not only that, man, let me tell y'all, like, I take every opportunity when I go to a different city to go find something to eat. That's just like kind of my thing, man. Like, if I'm in a new city, man, I'm trying to I'm trying to find some place to stuff my face, man. That's just how I get down. And I found this place not too, as a matter of fact, it was right around the corner from where I was staying. Like I stayed like Airbnb. I did the Airbnb thing. And I stayed, it was this place called Old Engine 12. This is a bar called Old Engine 12. I want to say it was on, it's like on North Capitol, Northwest something, and Quincy. And yo, man, like they had these jerk chicken wings. Bruh. Oh my damn. They were good, man. They were good. I went there the first night I was there. I got like that and some salmon, and that was really good too. And then like I got up the next morning because I forgot to pack some damn travel toothpaste. So I got up the next morning, go to the store so I can brush my teeth and shit. And like I noticed that they were open for brunch. So guess what a nigga did? I went back in there and got some more jerk wings the next day. Really good jerk chicken wings, man. Real talk. Like, I cannot stress enough. So, like, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area and you haven't been to Old Engine 12, you should probably get there if you like jerk wings, man. Those are really fucking good. Also, man, there was an offhand, like, meeting moment, right? Because I got a chance to meet Shannon Cross. Now, for those of you who may not necessarily be familiar with who Shannon Cross is, Shannon Cross used to be a sports... She used to be a sports reporter for ESPN years ago. She's no longer with ESPN. I think she's one of the DC local affiliates now. But I was a fan of her work from when she was working with ESPN. And it was odd because I'm sitting at the bar and I'm eating these wings. And Shannon Cross comes in and she also has this dude with her. He's like 6'8 or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I know who she is, but I don't know who she is, right? Like, and I don't want to be like no creep nigga, like. You just don't want to do that. Like, just certain things about, like, just, you know, folks are out. They don't want to be bothered and everything else. She's with her dude. I'm not trying to, like, impede or intrude or nothing like that. But I'm like, yo, I know her from somewhere, and I'm trying to place it. And then I figured it out because they were waiting for a party, and, like, some of their people, somebody said her name. And I'm like, okay, that is Shannon Cross. And so her dude comes back in, and he's asking me about my Jordans. He's like, hey, man, how you like them Jordan 11s, right? I'm like, yo, I'm loving these. But is that Shannon Cross? And he's like, yeah. And I'm telling him, like, yeah, I'm a fan of her work from ESPN. And he's like, oh, man, you should come over and say hi. Really good way to do that. Really good way to do that. And Shannon Cross is really cool people, man. Like, I was telling her about the Black Podcast, you know, the Negro Con and stuff and Awesome Con while I was in town and everything. She was real cool, and that was a real cool experience to get a chance to meet her, being a fan of her work from ESPN from so long ago. So that was cool, man. I went to Awesome Con while I was there, right? Now, let me tell you guys why I went to Awesome Con. Now, first of all, I didn't know that Awesome Con initially, like, denied, like, Chris and, Rod and Karen and Brandon. I didn't know that they denied them space for NegroCon and at the AwesomeCon event. I didn't know this. So I had bought tickets. I bought VIP tickets, man. And, they wasn't having their shit there. But I bought VIP tickets. 3-day VIP tickets. So I had an opportunity to go there, pretty much the whole weekend I was there. And I got a chance to, like, get some really cool art, man, some artwork or whatever. Got a chance to see some of the stuff that Stan Lee created going through the Stan Lee museum that they had going on there. That was real cool, you know, just to see a lot of the folks in the cosplay and whatnot. That was cool. Again, I took an opportunity to get something to eat, man. So I sat down there and I ate, was it jerk chicken again? I don't know. I was just on a jerk chicken kick the whole time I was in D.C. I don't know. I can't explain why, right? So that happened. But not only that, you know, not only with the Awesome Con and the Negro Con thing going on, but it was my first time being in DC. So I'm taking every opportunity that I got to, like, go and see some of the things that you see on television all the time, man. So I made sure that I went to the Washington Monument. I went to the Lincoln Memorial. I went to the Dr. King Memorial, which was beautiful, man. I enjoyed every little bit of that. I saw every nook and cranny of that memorial. That was a beautiful memorial that they put up for Dr. King. It was real cool, like, being on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and I was just kind of having a moment where, like, I'm recognizing the history that had been made there, man, the moments that had been culminated in that area, man. Like, Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and there I was standing right there, you know. Now, I know for some people from D.C., they're like, yeah, man, whatever. But, like, for those of us who have never been there and have only seen these things on TV, to be there in that space, like, sometimes it kind of feels like hallowed ground. right? Especially when, you know, you've seen so many of these events happen, especially when it comes to the fights for civil rights and everything else. Man, I had a little moment there standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. It was a lot of people there, too. Matter of fact, it was this one kid who just wanted to jump in the picture with your boy. I was taking, like, some selfies and shit in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and this kid just walks up. He's like, "Hey, man, can I take a picture with you?" And I'm, you know, I'm like, you know what, man? Fuck it. Come on. So we took this selfie together, man. I don't know that kid. I'll probably never see him again. He doesn't even know I'm going to talk about him on this show. But it was real cool, man. Like, to just be there and have that experience and whatnot, man. Really dope experience to kind of like see that, you know, see that for myself, man. I did a lot of walking. Did a lot of walking, man. Another thing, man. Like, I went to the National... the National Museum of African American History and Culture. I saved that for the last day, like for my birthday and shit, because it was my birthday. I had ended up like celebrating my birthday in DC. I turned 37 while I was there, man. And like, I saved that as like a birthday present to myself. Like, I'm going to take an opportunity to get there and see everything that was going on with that. And I didn't see everything that was going on with that. It's a lot in that museum, man. Like, I went through the first three floors. There's like six floors with different displays and whatnot. I went through the first three, and it's a lot packed into that first three. And I would have stayed longer if my phone wasn't going to die on me, right? My phone was about to die on me, and I was like, yo, I'm going to need at least to get an Uber back to my Airbnb so that I could at least charge my phone. I kind of wish I had bought a fucking extended battery pack case for that phone, right? I should have done that. I did not do that, and I paid dearly for it because I couldn't, like, finish that off in the way in which I really wanted to, man. But it was cool, man. Like, I got a chance to go to the White House. I saw the White House. And there's a lot of security around the White House, I guess rightfully so, because of the bitch-made motherfucker that's in there now. But I got a chance to go ahead. I went to the backyard and the front yard, man. And, you know, like I said, a lot of that was, yo, you see these things on television all the time, man. These are the halls of power and all these other things. Sometimes it's, like, kind of cool to just be there for yourself, see it for yourself, and just take that in, man. A lot of these places are historical places. You see these places all the time. So it was kind of cool to just kind of, even though I don't like the current occupant that's in that motherfucker, it was still kind of cool to be able to just see the house. You know what I'm saying? In much the same way that it was cool to see the Capitol building and the Supreme Court and the, like, all of those things, man. These are things that we hear about. We talk about them all the time. But to be there live and in the flesh, man, was really cool. A really cool experience. The only thing that I would change was I wish I wasn't there by myself. Right. Like, Mrs. Span couldn't come with me because of, like, work obligations and stuff like that. And I really wish that she had been there. I don't know if you guys have been listening to the Black Guy Who Tips, man. Like, after NegroCon was over, like, that midnight is when my birthday, like, kind of hit. And we were sitting around. It was me, Rod, and Aaron from the Black Astronauts. We were sitting around. We were kind of talking about podcasting and life and shit like that. And it was like, yo, 12 o'clock hit. And matter of fact, it might have been like 12:15. And I don't even think it was right at 12 o'clock. Like, yo, man, I've been 37 for 15 minutes. And then it hit me that, like, yo, my mom, like, I've been saying this for, like, leading up to my birthday. Like, yo, man, like, my mother was 37 when she passed away, man. And it was like I was 17. And that number has meant a lot to me since then. Like, 37. I wore 37 as a high school basketball player in tribute to my mother. When I first started, like, signing up for internet accounts, man, my number was 37 at the end of everything. So, like, 37 has always meant a lot to me. And at that moment, it, like, just hit me that, yo, like, you know, your man Span got a little emotional, bro. Like, it happened. Like, and one of the things I was thinking about was it was that. And the other thing was, like, my wife wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really wish that my wife had been there because I think, like, up until she's been with me for every birthday since I turned 30, even when we were, like, just dating off and on, like, we my birthdays, I had her around. So, like, it was a bit different to not be with her in that time, in that moment, to kind of celebrate that birthday. But, you know, I still had a good time, man. I was with some really good people. Some really great people, man. Like, I've grown to admire the work that they do. I've grown to look up to the work and the quality of the work that all of those podcasters have put out over the course of these years, man. And so, like, to be able to just be in that vicinity, to be in that room, to be just, like, kind of kicking it with these folks, man. Like I said, these are people that we've been listening to for years. And now I'm sitting up here sharing beers and shit with them. And like, we go to brunch the next day, like the next morning, you know, they invited me to brunch. Was that Coco Sala? A real fancy spot. Real swanky, man. It was cool, man. I had some real fancy shit. Like, the steak and eggs was the fanciest fucking steak and eggs I ever seen in my life. Real talk. But it was good, man. It was good, man. But like, just sitting around, having that time, speaking with these folks, like getting to know, like, not necessarily too personal, but it's like, yo, sharing moments with these folks that you typically don't get to do all the time, man. So it was beautiful to be in Washington, D.C. for that time, man, for that event. I'm so proud of all of those people who put that on, man, and I enjoyed it, and hopefully we can do that again. We can do that again real soon, man. So that was dope. I enjoyed my time in D.C., man, and I hope there's another time for everybody to kind of enjoy that time there as well, man. Now, of course, with all the things that were going on in D.C., that didn't mean to know that, like, the news stopped, right? So it was some shit that was going on while I was away and while I wasn't able to really talk about it. As a matter of fact, before I even get to that, because I'm going to tell you guys why you didn't get a show Thursday, my daughter just graduated eighth grade. So it was like, okay, so on a Thursday, they had it on a Thursday. I thought a graduation was on a Friday, but it wasn't. I'm like, ah, shit, I was going to do a show. But this takes precedent, right? And, really proud of her, man. It was a reminder that time does really fly. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I remember, like, changing diapers and stuff like that. And, like, I remember her, like, being potty trained and calling for me when she was finished. You know, like, she wouldn't call for her mama, she'd always call for me, like, daddy, I'm through. You know, like, I remember shit like that. I remember me laying her down in the bed while I was still working on my computer, only for her to get right back up out of the bed, out of her sleep, and come crawl back up in my lap and just go right back to sleep while I was working. You know, like, I remember things like that. So to see her walk across the stage for eighth grade and, you know, moving on to another part of life, which is, you know, going on in the high school and another step of growing up, man. You know, that was a thing too, man. Like, you know, time really does wait for nobody. You know what I'm saying? So, that was cool, man. Being able to spend that time with my baby and sharing that moment with her. You know what I mean? Y'all had to wait when it came to this, man. Y'all just had to wait. And I feel like, you know what? Some of this stuff, it can wait till Sunday anyway, because Sunday is usually when I do, like, the, I don't know if you would call this the big show, but this is like, Sunday is the main show and Thursday is like the additional show. But yeah, man. So it's been a lot. It's been a lot going on, man, with Washington, D.C., with my daughter's graduation and just getting back into the swing of work and stuff like that, man. There's been a whole lot going on, man. And like I said, the news didn't stop while I was doing all of this other shit, right? While going to graduations, going to Washington, D.C., doing NegroCon and all this other stuff, the news didn't stop. We got a whole lot of shit that happened. Like, Bill Cosby, was his trial ended in a mistrial, right? And one of the interesting things about it is, one, I wasn't necessarily thinking that Bill Cosby would be convicted because of the support that Bill Cosby enjoys. There's not a person in America of age, really, who would be on a jury who does not have an opinion on Bill Cosby and the type of man he is or the type of man they perceive him to be. And, you know, I looked at that like, yo, because of the way folks defended him over the course of the last couple years, because of the way that people kind of like talk about Bill Cosby in much the same way that they think that Cliff Huxtable is a real person. They really take Bill Cosby and Cliff Huxtable and they like mix them together, not knowing that Cliff Huxtable was a character that Bill Cosby created. And they just see themselves, they see him in that. A lot of folks talk about Bill Cosby, he raised them, like he was their father figure and all these other things. When they sat in front of the TV and they watched the Cosby Show and they loved what he represented and all of these things, I did not see them actually convicting Bill Cosby. The interesting thing About this mistrial, though, although like a lot of folks, and I've seen this over the course of the last week since this news came out, but I saw a lot of folks talking about Bill Cosby as if he got off, like as in not guilty, right? And a mistrial isn't necessarily a not guilty verdict. It's basically no verdict at all. He didn't get convicted. He didn't get not convicted either. Basically, the jury, they voted 10-2, 10 in favor of convicting Bill Cosby. Two people held out. Right? Now, that's not to say that, like, you know, because they're going to do a retrial of this, and they say they're going to retry it in like the next 4 months or so. But like, you look at this, man, it's like a lot of folks took it as a victory. Like, even his own publicists and everything, they stood out in front of the courthouse and they were doing a lot of grandstanding and whatnot. One of his publicists read a statement from Camille Cosby, which was interesting that Camille Cosby wasn't really around for the entire thing. She released a statement. She wasn't being shown. She wasn't there in support. There was Keisha Knight Pulliam. There was Joe Torre and all these other folks who were in the mix, but like, you didn't really see Camille Cosby anywhere near what was going on with Bill Cosby. And a lot of people look at Camille Cosby as complicit with whatever the fuck was going on with Bill Cosby. So I looked at that entire thing, man, like, that's fucked up, but it's almost sort of what was expected when it came to Bill Cosby. I'm not expecting him to be convicted of it. I think he did it, but I'm not expecting anybody to convict him of it simply because of who he is. Had any of us been out there, like, we had like 50 allegations of rape or sexual assault or slipping Mickey's and women's drinks and everything else. Every last one of us who was sitting up here talking about Bill Cosby didn't do it. Yeah, they convict our asses, right? So it's weird to see like some of the celebrations that I saw around the non-decision concerning Bill Cosby, especially considering the news that came out about Philando Castile and the verdict for Geronimo Yanis, who was the officer who pumped 7 rounds into Philando Castile during a traffic stop in Minnesota last year, right? And like, I looked at that case, and it was one of those things where like, yo, you've been listening to me for a long time. You guys know that I'm licensed to carry a concealed firearm. You guys know that I usually do carry a concealed firearm with me. And I've been stopped in traffic. I've had traffic stops happen numerous times simply because I'm licensed to carry a concealed firearm. It hasn't happened much lately, right? I haven't had many instances of it happening lately, but I can remember around the time when I first got my license, like I was getting a lot of stops simply because the police would run the plate. They know I was licensed to carry. They just want to see if I was going to even declare if I had the weapon in the car with me. And I watched, we all saw the video that his girlfriend, I think her name is Diamond Reynolds, put out on Facebook Live last year. We saw the end result of it. But after the trial was concluded, dash cam video was made public of the interaction between Yanis and Philando Castile. And you walk away from that like, how in the fuck can they get this so wrong? Like, how could you? And I debated on whether or not I was going to actually play that video here tonight. I'm not going to do it. I'm pretty sure at some point all of you guys have maybe even heard about it or seen it yourselves. I don't need to do that here. But the things that are clear to me while watching that video was, one, Philando Castile was being cooperative with the officer. He said, you know, he basically told the officer, I need to let you know that I have a firearm in the car with me, as you are instructed to do as a licensed carrier, you know, concealed carrier. You are instructed to do that. Let the officer know that you have a firearm in the car. And it was interesting to see Yanis go on high alert as soon as he said that. He basically put his hand on his gun already as soon as he said that. You can also hear him say, don't reach for it. But you can also hear Philando Castile saying, I'm not reaching for it, before Yanis pumped 7 rounds into him. Right. And it's weird The reason I say like it's weird, especially can, like when you juxtapose this news with what happened with Bill Cosby, is like these, like it's, there's this contingent of folks, when it came to Bill Cosby, they want you to respect the decision, right? They want you to respect the decision of the courts. Like, yo, man, like, well, they didn't convict him, so he not guilty. You know what I'm saying? Like they real adamant about that. I saw an article, some dumb motherfucker said like the black community needs to be ashamed of abandoning Bill Cosby. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. But like I saw shit like that. Like there's a contingent of folks who, when it came to Bill Cosby, were talking about we need to respect the conclusion of the trial. And then when it came to Philando Castile, these same motherfuckers are talking about how much of an injustice this is, how much they got it wrong. And it's like, yo, you like the inconsistencies in these in this is fascinating. It's fascinating. Right? Like Bill Cosby, rich black man, gets away with, you know, somehow sexually assaulting, drugging and sexually assaulting numerous dozens of women. He's only on trial for one, but he's accused of doing it multiple times, bad actor multiple times, and we got to respect his decision. But at the same time, the same folks are like, yo, man, fuck that, man. That was some bullshit, man. And they can't understand why people are looking at Bill Cosby funny. That's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing, man. And so I'm watching, you know, Philando Castile's murderer walk free. Again, another instance of nobody being held accountable at all. We watched Daniel Pantaleo get off. We've watched Geronimo Yanez get off. Very few. The officers who killed Tamir Rice, they're not going to jail. The officers who killed, what's my man's name in New Orleans or in Baton Rouge? Alton Sterling. Those officers aren't being charged. Those officers aren't being held accountable for anything. Like, there's so many different instances of all of these police officers getting off for killing unarmed black people or armed black people who are telling you what's going on with them, who are being cooperative with you. None of these police officers are being held accountable for any of this. And it's disheartening, man. Like, it was when you see the Philando Castile or Geronimo Yanez verdict come down, you know, like when you hear it, it's like, yo, folks are just like, they're so beaten down by all of these non-convictions, all of these non-indictments, all of these, yo, it's open season, the police have open season and carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they want to do to us. And at a certain point, you start, you know, you get weary of this shit, man. Like, you keep getting your ass whooped. Like, after a while, you can't keep taking this ass whooping. And it's amazing that some shit, like, I'm not calling for it, but it's amazing that, like, it's amazing the amount of patience that black people have for the shit that's going on. I don't know if it's because we see it as hopeless. I don't know if it's because we see it as... like, I don't know, like if it's an exercise in futility, so to speak, like to just break. It's amazing that hasn't happened here. And I'm wondering, with the current administration, the people who are occupying the government at this particular moment, whether or not they're doing this, or better yet, whether or not the system is just trying to see, like, how much more can we do to these motherfuckers, just like to kind of provoke some shit. When you see like some of the decisions that are coming down from the Justice Department being headed by Jeff Sessions, and the direction in which the Justice Department is going when it comes to backing police officers no matter what, you wonder if they're being poked and prodded. You wonder if we're being poked and prodded to provoke black people into doing something. It's just something that I've been wondering, man, the last few months, you know? So yeah, man, you know, basically, like I said, when it came to Castile, man, we saw he was pretty much cooperative throughout. Another interesting thing about this too, man, is like, yo, with the NRA, bruh. Now, I am a former NRA member. NRA ain't said shit about any of this. Nothing. It's been, what, a week and a half since Philando Castile's trial or the Geronimo Yanis trial was concluded? They ain't said a motherfucking thing. Now, it's interesting because last year, the NRA, they had this commentator's name's Coleon Noir. He put out a video last year. I made Coleon Noir the asshat of the year last year because of that video where he talked about himself. He's a black dude, and he talked about Philando, the NRA. People were giving the NRA shit about not speaking about Philando Castile. And he said the NRA didn't have to say anything because they gave him his own show, basically talking about his show being Philando Castile's show because he's a black man who speaks for the NRA, right? And the interesting thing about that is the NRA goes out of their way before all of his videos to make sure that you know that his expressions or his comments or his opinions are those and those of his alone. That they do not necessarily endorse his opinion, but they'll go ahead and let his shit ride on their network or on their YouTube channel or whatever, right? So he said, you know, basically that like, yo, the NRA doesn't have to say anything because they gave him his own show, yada, yada, yada. He said all of this last year. And then the verdict came down for Geronimo Yanis this year. And, you know, Coleon Noir is like conflicted. He's like, well, no, that was the wrong judgment. You know, they shouldn't have said anything. You know, they should have, that they got it wrong. But the NRA doesn't necessarily need to say anything. And they haven't. And they haven't. And it's interesting because the NRA touts itself as being a civil rights organization. The NRA talks about gun rights and gun legislation. They're trying to weaken a lot of the gun laws across the country. They make it more accessible for guns. Like right here in Michigan, they're trying to make it to where you don't even need a license to carry concealed. I'm not for that at all. Because what happens with that is you take away the requirement of having the pistol training courses, having the pistol safety courses, being able to or having to show you're proficient with your weapon. Like if you don't go through that, most people aren't going to go through the requirements to do that if they don't have to go get that CPL license. They're just not going to do it. I can go into a store and just buy a gun. Cool. And I can carry it concealed. Cool. Whether they know how to use the gun or not, whether or not they show themselves proficient with that weapon or not, whether or not they show that they understand the laws in the state or not, they're going to just have guns. So the NRA has been like, and Republicans have been kind of fighting for a lot of this stuff. And here's a legal gun owner, someone who's carrying, following the rules, someone who is cooperating with the police in that moment. And he ends up with 7 rounds pumped into him with a woman and a child in the back seat. And it's scary to me, man. That shit scares the fuck out of me. Now, I don't want to beat the dead horse and shit and bring up Chicago, but it was a flashback for me where I'm pulled over by a cop who says I didn't signal while changing lanes, and all of a sudden there's 5 fucking police officers all with their guns drawn taking me out of my car. And I think about how different that situation could have gone. It could have been lights out for your boy. Because they were adamant that I was gonna in the car with me. Only because why? They ran the fucking plates and they knew I was licensed to carry one. Just like Geronimo Yanis ran them plates and he knew that Philando Castile, there was a possibility that he was carrying one. And here's Philando Castile telling you, look, man, I got a gun on me. I should let you know. Now, for those people who would say, well, Philando Castile should have did this and should have did that. You know, there's a lot of people Monday morning quarterbacking this shit. I don't know anybody. I don't know what kind of sense it would make for somebody who was planning on doing something wrong or planning on harming a police officer in that way to let the police officer know that, yo, I got a gun in this car with me. I also have this woman and child in this car with me. If he planned on hurting that cop, he didn't have to do. Why would he disclose that he had a weapon at all? He could have just like, you know, tried to surprise Geronimo Yanis. Why would he wait until he had a child and a woman in a car with him? It made absolutely no sense. And then when you go back and you look into who Philando Castile was and the type of work that he was doing and the people who in the community and how they felt about Philando Castile, like, okay, so not only do you got a person who's out here trying to do it right, but he's also in his private life trying to do it right that way also, which makes it much more which makes what happened to him all the more egregious and scary. Because again, here's somebody trying to follow the fucking rules and they're still dead. Following the rules. The rules that you set up. Scary shit, man. And like I've said this on the show, man, my attitude about, you know, carrying a gun, man, is simply because I don't believe in the police to protect. I just don't have the faith in the police like that. I don't have faith in the police's ability to protect me or their desire to protect me. So my carrying of a weapon is basically like, yo, I care about my life. And if this is one of the means in which I can protect it and defend it, then I'm going to take every opportunity to do so, to defend and protect my life. And I'm not waiting on them for that. That's part of the reason why, that's why my attitude is what it is when it comes to guns. Because of the lack of faith that I have in those who are charged to protect us, when basically the people who are charged to protect us are looking at us as the things that everybody else needs protection from. Scary shit, man, for me. And for a lot of people, especially black gun owners, man. When the NRA, the one thing that they talk about all the time, and they have said nothing in a week and a half concerning the verdict of a legal gun owner being shot down by a police officer for no other fucking reason than him being black. Those interactions go totally different, the opposite way. We don't have a lot of instances of black police officers shooting white, you know, like white people. That doesn't happen all that often, if ever. But there are way too many instances of white or Latino white police officers gunning down and or killing black people with impunity because they seem to be getting away with it all the time. Very seldom are they held accountable for any of this shit. So, yeah, man. That's been going on. Depressing shit. I must admit, depressing shit. I hate to come back with some of this, but like these were some of the things that were going on, some big stories that were going on, and I felt that I needed to speak to them because it was heavy on my head, man. Real talk. But we got some segments coming up, and right now, you know what? We're gonna go with Blue Blazes.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
Okay, we gonna do that again. Damn.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, now, in today's What in Blue Blazes, man, we got a couple stories, kind of funny. A North Carolina woman walked into a Starbucks wearing a t-shirt that supports Trump. Sounds like a joke, right? Trump supporter walks into a Starbucks. Sounds like a joke. But then when you hear when you hear what her complaint was, you start really finding out it's kind of funny. It really is sort of a joke. So I'm going to read this story. This comes out of People Magazine. Lady, she says, a North Carolina woman says she was offended when she stopped at a local Starbucks wearing a Donald Trump t-shirt and a barista allegedly wrote one of the president's campaign slogans on her cup. Kayla Hart says she was embarrassed on Wednesday when a barista at a Starbucks in Dilworth printed "Build a Wall" on her cup. The slogan refers to a Trump campaign promise to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border. Yeah. It also said they shout. She also said they shouted it, "Build a wall," and kind of shoved my drink at me. And then all of the baristas in the back started cracking up laughing. I just walked out because everyone was staring. Hart said that she felt bullied despite the fact that the slogan is popular among Trump supporters. In March, a group of American spring breakers chanted "Build That Wall" while on vacation in Mexico, the Yucatan Times reported. Now, here's the thing, which I find very interesting when it comes to this shit. And when it comes to Republicans, period, because there's going to be another instance of this a little bit later. They are offended now. They're trying to paint themselves as victims when people mock their campaign promises and or their slogans and or their politics, right? Now, Trump made big, you know, he made a lot to do about the fact that he wanted to build a wall on the Mexican-U.S. border, right? Build that wall. Like, people were chanting that shit. Kids were chanting that shit in middle schools and stuff. That was a thing. She walks into a Starbucks. They type in. They write in, build a wall. That's what y'all would like. Y'all wanted that. Y'all supported that. Y'all supported the dude who was about that. So because they are reminding you of that, that these were one of the policies that you supported, now you're offended because they're talking about it. He said, build the wall. Like, I think they call out your cup name or some shit like that. I don't go to Starbucks much. I go to Big because it's close and they got a drive through. But really? You're offended by your policy position or your policy that you support being repeated back to you. You're offended by this. Really interesting how bad they want to be fucking victims when they really don't know what victimhood is like. And it's not like people who are victims, who like true people who are true victims hate being fucking victims. They're not like they're not like searching for the slightest thing. Like, this right here is a stretch. Oh my God, they said build a wall. You've been chanting that shit for a year and a half. The dude that you wanted to do that is now the president. He's occupying the White House right now. And he's in position to do exactly that. And you walk into a Starbucks and you're pissed that they're talking about building a wall from the dude that you supported, as you let everyone know you supported as you walked in the store with that t-shirt on. Now, when I was in D.C., and I made my, like, I had on a shirt of Barack Obama slapping fire from Donald Trump. And I wore that shirt on the plane. I walked around with that shirt on proudly as I walked through the D.C. airport, man. It was amazing. Like, some of the receptions that I got, like, the people who didn't like it didn't say much. But the people who did, yo, man, I love that shirt. Where'd you get it from? Real talk, man. So, yeah, man. Trump supporters out here like trying to act as if they're victims when it's not really that deep. Like, nobody's really checking for you like that. Like, this here, I'm surprised it even fucking made the news, right? But another thing kind of happened that kind of speaks to this whole thing about Republicans and their need to be victims, or their want to be victims. Now, there was a congressman, Steve Scalise, a Republican congressman, who was shot. Matter of fact, I think a day before I got to D.C., right? He was shot the day before. And, you know, people were making a lot of, you know, they were making a lot of hate out of the fact that the dude who shot him was a Bernie Sanders supporter. And which is funny because there's a lot of people who supported Bernie Sanders who also thought Donald Trump was a good fucking idea. Let's not forget that. Right. But Steve Scalise has had some real fucking problematic views when it comes to minorities, when it comes to some of the policies that he supported have been harmful to minorities, have been harmful to those who are less fortunate financially. And although you don't necessarily hope for people to die, you don't hope for bad things to happen to people, you know, like, if you're a decent human being, you know, you're not out here hoping motherfuckers get shot, nothing like that. That's just, as a decent person, you just don't do it. But after he gets shot, all of a sudden people are just kind of supposed to forget all of these things that he said in motion, all of these things that he supported, and just, well, we hope he has a speedy recovery. You know, we wish nothing but the best for him. Like, there's a contingent of people who ain't forgot what this dude represents, and they're not gonna forget. And so Joy Ann Reid was on her show on MSNBC, and she talked about that. She talked about the fact that, yo, man, like, although we don't want anything bad to happen to him, he does have some problematic views. He does have some policy positions that are harmful to others. And Fox News wanted to make hay out of this. So let me go ahead and pull this up so you guys can listen in on this yourselves. Let me see. They got the video on here, don't they? There was a video playing on this. Just a second. Here we go.
Calls for civility quickly fading just days after a gunman shoots Republicans at a Virginia baseball field. A host on MSNBC slamming House Minority Whip Steve Scalise. He remains hospitalized from his wounds in serious condition.
It's a delicate thing because, you know, obviously everybody is wishing the congressman well and hoping that he recovers. But Steve Scalise has a history that we've all been forced to sort of ignore on race. He did come to leadership after some controversy over attending a white nationalist event, which he says he didn't know what it was. Because he is in jeopardy and everyone is pulling for him, are we required in a moral sense to put that aside at the moment?
Howard Kurtz is Fox News media analyst and the host of Media Buzz. Good morning to you, Howard.
Good morning.
What do you make of those Joy Reid comments?
What Joy Reid is doing is just appalling. Appalling. While Steve Scalise remains in a hospital bed fighting for his life, she's attacking him because she doesn't like his politics and then kind of trying to justify it on some moral ground. Well, are we supposed to ignore the fact that he doesn't vote the way I think he should vote? And then for Joy Reid to tweet that Scalise was attacked by a white man but saved by a Capitol police officer who she says is a black lesbian. Why bring race into it? Why bring sexual?
Here's the thing. The reason why race was brought into it and the reason why that woman's sexual orientation was brought into it is because Steve Scalise has presented legislation and supported legislation that would marginalize that woman further. And it's ironic that the people then with a person in which he has no political, he has no interest in serving politically, who, as a matter of fact, who he tries to politically put in a more subservient position, more, disenfranchise them more, that was the person to save him from this, you know, this kooky white dude who decided he wanted to shoot up some Republicans. Right. And it's funny because they calling this an attack. All she did was reiterate what his policy positions was. Republicans all of a sudden feel as though if you talk about what their policy positions are and if you present them straight laced, straight faced, then it's now an attack. So if you think if someone who doesn't agree with you recites your policy positions and you look at that as a fucking attack, imagine how the people who have to live with those decisions and the legislation that is presented, how they feel every fucking day that this dude is out here operating as a House of Representatives member, as a congressman. If just repeating what his positions are is an attack, then imagine what his actual positioning does to those who he's attacking. If you see that as an attack. They want to be victims so bad. And the funny thing is, like, yo, Steve Scalise is a victim. He got shot with a high-powered, you know, rifle. He got shot. He's an actual victim. He's suffering right now. But the fact that you're trying to flip this as an attack, when basically all she's doing is reminding people of, yo, this is who Steve Scalise is. It's amazing to watch these motherfuckers with this fall hypocrisy. Like, the hypocrisy is amazing. Like, as you watch Donald Trump and as you watch all of these decisions come down and the like with Donald Trump's cabinet and the people who are there and like the policies that they're now promoting and things like that, like the hypocrisy of it all, man, like they have no fucking scruples about doing slick and undermining shit. Like, it's amazing to like kind of just take it all in, like, man, like, really? And it, like, they really gave her shit about them emails. They made so much hay about those emails when so much other fuck shit is going on. So yeah, man, that's been going on. That's going on. Now, here's another story that I think is probably a lot more. this is a bit funny. Let me pull this up because this kind of reminded me of a cartoon character known as Dennis the Menace Man. Let me read this story, man. This happened. This came out of Lexington Park, Maryland. Says authorities in Maryland have charged a 7-year-old boy after they say he urinated on steaks a neighbor was grilling in his backyard. Now, I'm just saying.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
How in the fuck, man? A 7-year-old is pissing on the man's grill. He got steaks on the grill. The 7-year-old is pissing on the steaks, man. What did that man do to that little boy to make him want to piss on his grill? The story further goes on to say that the St. Mary's County Sheriff's Office says a deputy responded to a home in Hawthorne Way in Lexington Park on June 6th after the victim contacted them for a report of destruction of property. The investigation found that the boy urinated off the roof of his home onto the victim's grill, and the incident was caught on camera by a witness, according to the sheriff's office. The 7-year-old boy was charged with one count of malicious destruction of property of $1,000. Now, in an older Rod and Karen over at the Black Guy Who Tips, man, guess the race on that one. They gave that boy, they charged him with malicious destruction of property and charged him $1,000. Guess the race on that one. They don't play it. They don't have a picture of him or whatever, but it just imagine who you think he was. Right. But it kind of reminded me of Dennis Smith. Actually, he kind of reminded me of my little brother too, though. Like back in the day, my little brother probably would have did some shit like that. Not going to lie. Not going to lie. Yeah, man. But yeah, it's time for our segments, and we got our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And today's ass hat of the week is, we're going to go, what's this dude's name? Because this was like a last minute addition. This dude's name is Kevin Martin. Kevin Martin believes that Philando Castile got what was coming to him. Kevin Martin appears to be a young black man. Kevin Martin also appears to be, they're saying it's the black conservative view of the Philando Castile police shooting. So I'm going to play a little bit of this video, and I challenge you to not be upset, because it's hard not to. But check this out.
Hello. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's Kevin Martin coming to you live on this beautiful day, beautiful afternoon here in central Pennsylvania. And I just want to talk a little bit about this Philando Castile shooting that has...
Okay, right off top, he don't even know who the fuck he's talking about. Can't even get the man's name right.
...surface now, and that is back in mainstream media now that the officer that was involved in the shooting has been cleared and has been sent on his way as not guilty in manslaughter or murder. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this. And why this is so ridiculous, but so controversial. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about why I feel the way I do about the situation and why I think it's absolutely stupid and ridiculous that we're even having this conversation. Now, I'm just going to start off by saying this, okay? I, as an African-American, I've been pulled up.
Okay. I, as an African-American, like, look, dog, I get it. You want to say just because you blacked it, like, you kind of speak for a lot of folks. You really don't. Like, and not only that, here's one of those instances where you have to look around you. You have to look around you and see who are the people who are championing your message. You have to look at the people who are around you. When you out here saying shit like this, look at the people who are big up in you. Look at the people who support your message. And most often, they don't look like you. They probably would never fuck with a nigga like you ever. Man, that's just real talk. Like, just be mindful of the people who would put you out there and say, this is the guy you need to listen to. This guy gets it. No, he gets your perspective, not necessarily the people who look like him and who are suffering from a lot of this police brutality and this police overreach on the day-to-day basis. So make sure you're mindful of the people who are big up in you when you put shit out here like this.
Over before, several times, numerous times, while being armed or unarmed, in any demographic of neighborhood, whether it be suburban, inner city, rural, urban, and I've never had any problems. And most times I was carrying a firearm, okay? And I too let the police officer know that I was carrying a firearm. Well, I've been pulled over, never had a problem, while carrying. And the reason why is because I made the choice that I'm going to respect their authority and to respect their orders no matter how I felt about the situation, okay? No matter how I felt about the situation.
Okay, good for you. The only thing here is, man, is that Philando Castile was doing the exact same thing. He was complying. His compliance even ended up with him being killed. or we can talk about, there was another instance where there was the mentally ill man that was in the street, like playing in the street, and there was that that healthcare worker, that mental health care worker who was laying out on the street with his hands up, telling the police what the situation was when it concerned that patient, and they still shot him. He was in full compliance. They still shot him. We could talk about what happened with Walter Scott as he's running away. They shot him in the back. So you bringing up these instances of when you got pulled over and nothing happened to you, although that is great that nothing happened to you, that does not mean that this shit that's happening to them should have happened to them. Your exception does not negate the fucking rule. And I think I need to say that again. Your exception does not negate the rule. And far too many times we fall into that. I've listened to people talk about, my people doing this, and we don't follow that narrative or whatever, because I know people who are doing X, Y, and Z. Like, yeah, that's all fine and good. That's great for them. But for every rule, there's an exception, and they don't negate that rule simply because they were able to get through. So, yeah.
You know, police officers have one main goal, and that's to make it home to their family at the end of shift.
Okay, and here's another thing that I also want to speak to. We got to stop romanticizing these police, man. Like, real talk. Like, there's an unfucking healthy sense of romanticization when it comes to these police officers, where like, yo man, like I saw this weeks, like months ago, like sign, like, yo, thank a police officer because they don't know if they're gonna come back home at the end of the day and all this other shit. Like, you know what, man, when I walk out of my fucking door, it doesn't guarantee that I'm gonna make it back home either. And that's with everybody. Now, some people's chances are a little bit higher than others, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of us who walk out of this door. There's no guarantee that we're ever going to come back home, despite what our occupations may be. We may get in a car accident. We may be, we may have a health issue that no one knows about. We may have a heart attack. We may fall down a flight of fucking stairs. Some of us work with, like, I work in utilities. I work with a volatile fucking product. I work with natural gas. If something goes wrong with that, boom, it's a wrap. Everybody walks out of that front door not knowing if they're going to come back. We got to stop fucking romanticizing these goddamn police officers, because that gives them license. That gives them carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they want. Because what they do is they justify this shit by saying, yo, I was in fear for my life and that's why I killed them. Every fucking time. And they get off. I want to make it back home to my family. Well, guess what, motherfucker? So do I. I do too. So we got to stop with this. They're just trying to make it back home. Man, fuck that. I am too, man. And 9 times out of 10, they're the ones walking back home.
You know, if the rest of America, which is Black America in part, okay, had the same agenda, and that is to make it home, instead of trying to make a point, trying to make a video for social media, trying to race bait these police officers, if they had the same agenda as police officers, and that is to make it home to their loved ones at the end of the day or at the end of shift, this world would be so much different. And it's true, this world would be so much different.
That's bullshit. That is complete bullshit. Everybody ain't out here just trying to race bait police officers. There's a lot of people out here who trying to just make it through the day. Just like when folks would say, like, yo, I don't think he went out there to go kill a nigga today. I don't think he went out there to go to kill a black person today. You know how many black people are trying to avoid any motherfucking interaction with the police altogether? They don't want any fucking, we don't want any interactions with them at all. Nobody's out here just baiting the fucking police. They don't even want to fuck with the police because they know at the end of the day what's going to happen. Nobody's going to believe their story. Everybody's going to demonize them, no matter what kind of fucking person they were. It's always going to be their fault as to what happened to them. The police are never held accountable for shit. So that's bullshit, man.
The idiotic thing as I see about with this video is that it's completely justified because, first of all, Philando Castro.
Again, this motherfucker can't even get the man's name right.
Had a very, very a big problem with authority. That's the number one thing. He had a big problem with authority. He didn't like to listen to anybody. Second of all, he was breaking the law and driving without brake lights, okay? So he's breaking the law and he has a problem with authority.
So this kid, because he looks young, man, this kid then like came up with an entire different fucking narrative to try to justify what the fuck we all watched. Philando Castile is breaking the law for having a busted taillight. At what point does a busted taillight mean that you're supposed to like die? He also said that Philando Castile had a problem with like submitting to the authority of that police officer. For anybody who watched that fucking video, they know that's complete bullshit. Philando Castile was trying to comply with that officer when that man pumped 7 rounds into him. So, like, in order for this to make sense for them, they have to create an entirely different fucking story as to what actually happened. In order for it to make sense. And here's he's black, but he has some views that aren't necessarily consistent with a whole lot of black folks who are tired of dealing with shit like this. So he has to make it somehow make sense to him. So he creates this entire different fucking scenario. He buys into the pathology that black men are aggressive. He buys into the pathology that black men are not to be trusted. He buys into that shit. And therefore, if you got enough black people who think that shit, how then can you expect these police officers to respect anything when it comes to black people? If you got this silly motherfucker sitting here trying to make excuses as to why what Geronimo Yanez did to Philando Castile was right. Now, this video is fucking 9 minutes long. It's like 5 minutes and 33 seconds left of this video. I'm not going to play like the entire thing. As a matter of fact, I'm done with it. But going through this up to this point, you should know why this motherfucker is the asshat of the week here at the Sparing Poor.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And I'll have that video available on thesparingpoor.com if you guys wanted to check it out for yourself. But yeah, man, like I said, I challenge you not to get pissed off listening to that stupid motherfucker. Real talk. But, we can't get out of here without crowning the champ. And we got our champ of the week this week as well.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
All right, today's champ of the week this week here on the Sparing Report, man, is, salute. NegroCon, the organizers of NegroCon, Chris, Rod and Karen, Brandon, like all of them, man, like I said at the beginning of this show, that was a fucking awesome and amazing experience to be there. Real talk, like I walked out of there, man, like a little inspired, right? I walked out of the inspired, man, because it made me like kind of look at this entire vehicle, the Sparing Report, and like know. Well, I kind of looked at it like, yo, I've been looking at this way too narrow. Like this entire thing, there's so much more that could be happening with the Sparing Report, and I want to do so much more with the Sparing Report. And it takes work. It takes a lot of work, and they've inspired me to put in more work for this, because one of the things that I want to do, man, I do want to go to where like there's a network of shows, man. I do want to give you guys more content. I do want to give you guys like get more guests on the show, or better yet, co-host on the show. I want more voices on the Sparing Report or a possible Sparing Report network, to where you're hearing different voices and it ain't just mine all the time. You're hearing different perspectives when you come here. And like, watching them and seeing them, and a lot of them are like, yo, Span, when you gonna get your when you gonna get your network put up, bro? Like, and like I'm talking to them, and I'm noticing, like, yo, everything I said as to the reasons why I don't have that were their excuses, man. If I really want to get that done, man, it's gonna take some work. And I have to be willing to put in that work in order to do it. And that's part of the reason, like, not why I'm not only just soliciting a co-host, but yo, man, I got plans, man. I want to bring so much more to the Span Report. I want to do so many other things with this vehicle. And I need your help. I need you guys' help, man. Like, for those of you who have been listening to me for... I've been doing this, I want to say, almost 7 years now, man. Matter of fact, probably almost eight years. Been doing this for a while. And I need your guys' help, man. Like, I know I don't really press on the donations, man, but those donations do help. I don't really press on the listener feedback, but that listener feedback does help let me know that folks are out here listening, and they get something to say about what's going on here and what's going on in the world and how they view it. I need your help. So, yeah, man, I have to do my part. I have to do my part when it comes to this, like when it comes to giving you guys a consistent show, when it comes to giving you guys alternate voices other than my own, as far as having guests on and other things like that. But if we're going to grow this, it's going to be a group effort. Now, I've been doing this for the free for 8 years. But it's going to take some money to help this grow. And I'm hoping my listeners, I'm hoping each and every one of you guys who are listening to my voice right now, are willing to help your boy out, man, when it comes to stepping this vehicle up into the right direction, man. Stepping this vehicle up to where you hear more voices, to where you get more shows, to where it's more consistent, to where, yo, man, like, you go to the Span Report and know that, like, yo, there's 3 or 4 shows on there that I really fuck with, and ain't none of them got nothing to do with Span. Right? Like, I want you guys to be able to have that here at the Span Report. And so yeah, man, I got some ideas that I want to make concrete, but I'm gonna need your guys' help, man. So when it comes to that listener feedback, man, it's crucial, it's important. It lets me know that, you know, you guys are engaging. This is something that I could do, you know what I mean? Like, listener engagement is big when it comes to these, like, when it comes to these vehicles. There are no sponsors here, but that's something that would be dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to grow this vehicle, and I'm going to need your help to do it. So there are going to be some things coming up down the road in the next few months where we try to do that, man. We try to move this vehicle forward where it's not just 2 shows a week, where you're only getting 1 voice and 1 perspective. I want it to be more, and it can be more. And it's going to take work. And I'm willing to put that in. And because of Rod, Karen, Aaron over the Black Astronauts, Chris, Jax, D-Palm, Deidre, Twan, Mike, Brandon, like, because of voices like that, and because I've been able to watch them do what they do, I know it's possible. I know it can be done. And now it's up to me to just do the work. And so because of that, those guys are the Span Report Podcast Champ of the Week for that inspiration, man. So shout out to them. And yeah, that is the show for today. So before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. This area code 313-288-0485. You can also hit me up at the email at feedback@spanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. Of course, I'll listen, I'll read them here on the show responding kind, and I'm still submitting. I'm still looking for those co-host submissions for the Span Report as well, man. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. _ Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Do that. 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher. Get ready here on the show. So go ahead and do that. It's your way of putting down, man. One way of putting on for the show and letting people know that you fuck with us over here and what we got going on. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. Vote in the polls. Watch the show. Listen to the show. Leave comments. Everything, man. Buy t-shirts. Donate as much as you like and as often as you like, man. Go ahead and do that. Everything's available at thespanreport.com, man. So go ahead and do that for all of your Span Report needs. But it's getting a little late. Got to go to work in the morning, man. So, yeah, I got to go to sleep. But until next time, fam. Peace.